the OTB Podcast Network.
Okay, Vinny, you finished West Ham 0, Everton 1. It was a really tremendous performance by Everton from a defensive point of view. You know, they'd always try and get those goals in the break with Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison able to do that for them. And it did happen for them today, Calvert-Lewin with his 16th goal of the season. You'd have to say in the balance of play that it was a deserved victory for the Toffees.
Yeah, much, much the better team. Albeit, I think West Ham possession stats were over 60-odd%, so they really dominated the ball. But the big thing for me was Everton didn't allow them any quick counter-attack, quick play. They couldn't find the pockets where Lingard has been so much of a threat all season for West Ham. They couldn't find the spaces for the forward players. They'd done it one or two rare occasions. And to be fair, Benrahma has missed a great chance and Shufal has hit the inside the post. But on the balance of play, Everton were really the dominant team. Every time they went forward, Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison were brilliant. Real danger in the counter-attack. And it was a really strong performance by Everton. And I think tactically, the 3-5-2 worked a treat and it really caused West Ham problems. And no answers to it, which was disappointing.
Was it a case of Ancelotti, the old Italian master, out-tacticking, shall we say, to use a Sam Allardyce term, his opponent David Moyes today?
Yeah, I think so. I think there was no space in the midfield areas. There was lots of crosses into the box by West Ham. But the back three of Everton dealt with everything really, really strongly and well. And I think that's... I think Moyes has done an amazing job. Amazing job there. They're in a really strong position, but they've missed a chance this year. They didn't have a plan B. It didn't work for them. They are unlucky. They've had a couple of injuries. Declan Rice is a massive loss on that midfield, because once they switched the ball from one side to the other quickly, he did cause Everton some problems. But ultimately, Ancelotti won the battle, didn't allow any space for the likes of Lingard's, these players. Antonio got really frustrated, started playing out wide in different areas. And West Ham didn't have a plan B and didn't look like breaking them down enough.
Everton, I suppose their big problem this season has been their home form. It's been poor at Goodison Park. They've lost some, you know, games where you'd really expect them to win. Drawing against Tottenham a couple of weeks ago, they lost to Burnley, lost to Newcastle at home, and Callum Wilson tore them apart at the back. And I think that's frustrated Everton supporters. You would imagine, though, looking at the squad and the team that Ancelotti has there, and we know, or we knew when he took over, you need two or three transfer windows to really build a good squad there. You'd imagine with a couple of, you know, key signings this summertime that he could maybe have that team a little bit more sustainable, a little bit more consistent, and perhaps in and around that top four. You know, I know they're not too far off it, but really in that top four battle next season.
Yeah, listen, that level between sort of fourth and tenth is so competitive. Anyone can push the opposition out or further down the league. But I've listened to Ancelotti speak during the week about what the team is lacking is consistency and continuity. So they've had a couple of injuries that haven't helped them. People have come in and out, but the consistency. To lose to West Ham or to lose to Newcastle and Burnley, yeah, they play really well against Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs. So that tells you that the manager tactically is good enough to when he takes on the top teams. I think his players are letting them down and switching off and not consistent enough in the games against Newcastle and Burnley. Some would say he's got to get them up for them games, but the players have let themselves down at times and lacked the consistency, because there was a real chance for someone to get into the top four this year of a different type. And again, a bit like West Ham, I think they've missed or potentially going to miss the opportunity this year, where it was a lot easier, because you'd imagine the likes of Liverpool will come back much stronger next year and force himself into the top four. So it was an opportunity missed for Everton this year, and just consistency has caused them. But there's no doubt Ancelotti is building a real strong squad there. A lot of good, young, hungry players. And the front two are exceptional as well. Richarlison really works really hard for them and gives... He's not nice to look at, he's not nice to play against, but he gives them a real platform. And if you ever want to see two players playing up front today, have a look at their goal. He comes short, brings the up to centre-half with him, ball down the side, and space is there for Calvert-Lewin to run into, and it's a brilliant finish and it's a well-worked goal.
Let's stick with Calvert-Lewin just for a moment, because he's having his best season, there's no doubt, for Everton. 16 goals he's hit so far, and we've still got a few more games to play. Listen, Harry Kane is the England captain. He's got to be the first choice if he's fully fit. But there is a question over his fitness going into Euro 2020. Do you think that Calvert-Lewin now has put himself in the box seat to be the main striker for England if Kane isn't fit? And could he even really compete with Kane for that starting striker berth?
Yeah, I don't think he can compete, but he's certainly the next in. And I think if England were chasing a game, he's definitely an option off the bench because his running power down the sides of people. He's a big, big unit. I seen him walk out with Duncan Ferguson. I was shocked because I've never noticed how tall he is. Because he's so trim and athletic, you don't realise that he's over 6'2". So he's a big threat in the air. He also defends set pieces quite well, which coaches take heed in. And particularly, England play so much attention to the set pieces. So both ends, he's good in the air, attacks ball well. I think that's the sign of a top-class manager. If you make players better, Ancelotti has made him a better player, and so many other players. He's made him a better player. I think he's a year ago, it was probably touch and go whether he went in the European Championships. Now he's a shoe-in if anything happens to Harry Kane. And England have often been unlucky. A lot of stars miss out, or they have, you know, the amount of metatarsals that seem to go on England's big players just before the tournament. So he's someone that they'll have in mind. He's someone they'll be watching. I've seen England assistant manager there today. So he's definitely on the radar. And if the opportunity comes, I think he's good and big enough and strong enough as a person to take that chance if he does get the opportunity in the summer.
Before I mention West Ham, I have to speak about Seamus Coleman. We waxed lyrically about the Irish captain during the commentary this afternoon, but it really was an immense performance. I'm just thinking back to some of the stuff that he was doing. And even in the dying stage of that match, the way he hassled and harried Jesse Lingard with the ball right over the halfway line into his own half to keep him away from the Everton goal. It was a brilliant performance by Seamus Coleman. And as you mentioned in the commentary as well, it'll give Stephen Kenny, the Irish manager, such a huge lift.
Yeah, it'll give him a huge lift to be watching that game. And there was two things really noticeable in it. One is he played as a wing-back. So Ireland have played with a back three of late. But his performance as the wing-back was brilliant. He went into midfield at times as well, central. And so from a tactical point of view, that would be really good for Stephen and his coaching staff to see the way Seamus played. But also, his running power, his fitness levels were exceptional. Everton counter-attacked once, and it was brilliant play by Calvin Lewis and Richarlison. But he was the next in, and actually him and Lingard got a good block on him, but he almost scored late in the game, breaking into the box and the furthest player forward. So his fitness levels are really exceptional high. Sometimes we look at Seamus, I think, with rose-tinted or green-tinted glasses, and everything he does is brilliant. But today, everything he did do was brilliant, and his performance is a real shot in the arm for the international manager. And remember, Ancelotti is an Italian coach mindset. He won't look at Coleman's age and think he's aging. He won't be afraid to play a 35, 36-year-old player, a defender. No problems with that. He's done it before. He's compared him to Sergio Ramos already. So he's not going anywhere. He will be a Premiership star for Everton for a bit of a future ahead of him. So that's good. That's good for Seamus.
And like most Italians, he's a teetotaler as well. So perhaps there's a lesson in that for any aspiring footballers they might be watching Seamus Coleman these days. Listen, West Ham, they've put in some amazing performances this season. They've been brilliant to watch, exciting team to watch. It just went wrong from today. They couldn't break down that Everton team. And you'd wonder if maybe that Champions League spot has slipped away from them now.
Yeah, so I'm cautious not to be critical of West Ham. I think they've been brilliant this season. They've got Liverpool, Arsenal and Spurs all behind them in the league table. So it's a real credit to them. The so-called three of the top six, or whatever, super six you want to call them. So they've done a brilliant job. Moyes has really galvanised that club. There's a real band of brothers you hear them speak about. There's a great element to that. So he's done an amazing job. And he's proved himself to be a top, top manager after what happened at Manchester United dented his reputation a little bit. But I would say that at some stage you've got to regret the missed opportunity this year.
We did that Liverpool game together, didn't we?
Exactly.
And they didn't go out with enough ambition in a game like that. And there was a few other games where Moyes almost talks his team down before matches and says, you know, well, look, we'll go in there. Perhaps we might come out. Do you find that he doesn't have enough ambition sometimes?
What I've noticed is against what we call them the top four, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, and Manchester United, I think they've only picked up a point this season of them four. So he's been conservative in them games and lost maybe by the odd goal here and there. Against Liverpool, the game we done, he was very conservative. But he would have been better losing four of them games, 4 or 5 nil, and winning two of them. He'd be 5 points better off, like, and going for it and having a real cut off teams. And that's where I say you only get one chance in life sometimes. West Ham may not get another chance like this to get a Champions League. It was once in a lifetime opportunity potentially for them. They may come back next year and do the same again. So I feel they've missed an opportunity. I think Moyes should have regrets about this season. And even today, it was just, there wasn't enough urgency to go and get a result. There wasn't a plan B. And that's where you would have to fall on the side if they've missed an opportunity. Albeit, I don't want to take Anton away from West Ham and their season this year, but they've just missed something this year. And if your top scorer is on 9 goals, you're not going to get Champions League football, unfortunately. And that's probably being their Achilles heel, just not being brave enough.
Yeah, 5 points off Leicester City with 3 games to go. They perhaps have an easier fixture list, but, you know, coming at this time of the season, games on paper really mean nothing. Just to finish off, I suppose Manchester United managed to get that victory against Aston Villa. Man City not getting all 3 points this weekend. There's only 3 games to go. Is there any chance they might slip up? Have United supporters got a glimmer of hope there? Do you think City are going to see this out?
No, I think City will see it out. But again, a missed opportunity probably at times for Manchester United. I think I've been, and some people are on the fence, you're either one side with Manchester United or the other side. I think I've been critical at times. I think they're short of a couple of players. I don't think they're a squad capable of winning the Premiership yet. But you must say, Solskjaer, the job he's done has been phenomenal. Is he the one to take them to the summit of English football again? We don't know. I'm not sure. But the job he's done with this Manchester United team, they need to get over the line, I feel, in the Europa League. I think that would give a huge confidence to everybody in the club, get the winning mentality back. But what they've done is, and it's a lesson for so many clubs all over the world, whether it's in League of Ireland or any other league, is they've gone back to what makes them good. They've got the DNA right in their club. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Mike Phelan, Darren Fletcher, you could go on, all are back, and the DNA of that club is right again. Are then people ultimately good enough to take them to sprinkle the magic to win the league? We don't know yet, but they've got the DNA right at the club. And to be fair, it's been a brilliant season. I think if they go and win the Europa League, will mean they're back on the right track. But the next step is going to be the most difficult for Manchester United. Next step is huge. But I don't see them win the Premiership this year, unfortunately.
Beating Villarreal won't be easy either in the Europa League final. But in the other European final, the big one, the Champions League, it is, of course, Manchester City against Chelsea. Chelsea beating Man City on Saturday night in the Premier League. They've beaten them in the FA Cup semi-final as well.
Yeah, but Pep is pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. Look at those last two games. He's played with centre-forwards in both of them games.
Yeah.
He will not play with a centre-forward in the Champions League final. I'm not saying he's done it on purpose. He didn't want to lose both games. But this is a different game. And where he has an advantage is Tuchel, who is an unbelievable coach, tactically probably the second best coach, tactically, what makes a great coach and all that is up for discussion. But from a tactics point of view, he's probably just behind Pep, I would say. But he's beaten them with centre-forwards. Mm. He hasn't had the experience of playing City with their false nine, with De Bruyne, with Foden turning up, Mahrez turning up in different areas, with Bernardo Silva turning up in different areas. So we haven't seen, as much as they've beaten them twice, we haven't seen Man City against what I would say is the real Chelsea. Mm. That will happen in the Champions League final. If he pulls it off then, well, that will be a remarkable achievement by Tuchel to beat him on the day. But we haven't seen the proper tactical game between Pep Guardiola and Tuchel. Mm. And it will be fascinating.
You think Guardiola was happy to sacrifice that Premier League match, those 3 points?
I think he is big. He is the type of person who wants to win every game. And he picked the team to win a game. But at the same time, he's also held something back. Maybe he didn't. I'm not saying he's done that on purpose. But he started with Jesus, he started with Aguero in them games. I don't think either of them starts the Champions League final. And that's the difference. So, but way Chelsea have, and Chelsea did go more or less full strength because they needed the points. The way Chelsea exploited City's system down the sides of them with Mount and with Werner down the side of people's Ziyech, they will cause them problems in the Champions League final, but we don't know. We haven't seen the real matchup yet. And that's the fascinating part. I actually still investigating or researching the Champions League final, but I think it's going to be fascinating. And I probably cannot wait for any other game, because that is a tactical masterclass from two of the best tactical managers in the game, even though Klopp is better than Tuchel as a manager. But it's a longer story.
Can't wait for myself, and it is going to be fascinating. Just to finish, what may not be fascinating is the SSE or Chisley Premier Division title race. We spoke to Brian Kerr, our colleague, before this game, and I know he was a little bit despondent after watching Shamrock Rovers win with that late Danny Mandroyo strike against St. Patrick's Athletic at Inchicore on Saturday night. They're 5 points in front now, Shamrock Rovers, after 10 matches. Do you think the Premier Division champions are just going to cruise now to another Premier Division title this season?
I really don't want to answer that question. Yes, they are. Look, to be fair to them, like, again, a lesson for everybody. When Michael O'Neill left a good few years ago, it took them a while to find the right people. People wanted big name managers, all of this stuff. They've got the DNA of that club right. Between Stephen Bradley's done a phenomenal job. There was banners. There was all this people calling for his head. The board stuck with him. They believed they were on the right project that was criticised, and they're getting the rewards now for that continuity, doing things right. They are a phenomenal team. They go to the end. It's not an excuse. It's not luck winning games late. It means you're fit enough, your players are brave enough to be in the opposition box, and it means
you've got the self-belief as well, which is huge, isn't it?
Self-belief. And listen, momentum is huge in football. It there's no science behind momentum, but you just expect to win. We've seen Dundalk do that for years, and people say, you're lucky to get a late penalty, you're not. Or you're lucky to score a late goal, you're not. You're constantly doing it. We see it with great teams over the years. And this looks like a great Shamrock Rovers team. And if you add Richie Towell into that, as someone who has to live in Tallaght, I'm not looking forward to it. But I genuinely love League of Ireland. I wish them well. I just wish someone else would push them and put them under a little bit of pressure. Pats have started in the right manner. I was at Daly Mount. I watched the game back last night. It was a great game of football. But you must give huge credit to the manager there. He's done a phenomenal job. He's put them exactly where he wants to be. And it looks like only one winner now, unfortunately.
Thanks, Vinny.
Thanks.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.